we're like, hey, should we just get married? I mean, everyone expects us to do crazy shit anyway, and our family is always like, no doubt. Kirsten and Bob are like, hey, I'm getting married next week. Can you make it to Dubai or something crazy? So we were going to actually get married. He left, and I went into my bank statement for some reason, and it came up with, what was the name of it? Anyway, it came up with the strip club, and I lost it.
What is up, crew, and welcome to another episode of Spill the Tea with Bo and Kirsty. That's Bo and Kirsty, not Kirsty and Bo. We are here in Thailand, Pattaya, to bring you another episode. This episode is called Traveling the World.
Yeah.
Because we have done a lot of travels. The last time you guys heard from us, we were in Las Vegas, suited up. Now we're in singlets and
now we're in Thailand.
Beachwear.
And this session is actually the session. I'm so used to working. This podcast is actually more going to be about all the crazy travel stories we've had. The shit, the in-between, the stuff that you don't see on Instagram. I know you've seen all of our beautiful content and there were some really beautiful moments, but there was also a lot of like holy fuck moments, you know? And so we really want to, you know, tell you all the ins and outs of our travel and what it's like traveling with kids and still running a business and having a team and stuff like that as well. It's not all
sunshines and rainbows.
Yeah, that's the word.
Should
we start from the start?
Let's start back from we're in Vegas, right?
Yeah. Do you want to start with the flight from Dubai?
I've got notes for this episode. Yeah, holy shit. Different, right?
Is this a new man? It's 2025. He's bringing structure to our lives. I'm very excited. What have you got, babes?
So I wanted to talk about, we left Vegas. We were really sick in Vegas. The whole family had flu. And then that was a nightmare on its own. And there was a bit of FOMO for me.
I think we need to go all the way from the beginning. We went to Arizona first. Let's go all the way back.
I was talking back from the last podcast.
We talked about Arizona. Gotcha. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, forgot about that.
So if they've listened to the last podcast.
Do you know what? Can I just say this?
New podcast.
I didn't even know.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I heard you. You're loud and clear. Thank you.
Are you sure?
Yes. Okay, cool. All right. Vegas. So we've talked about.
Guys,
can I just say, like, I don't even know what country I'm in anymore.
I wake up in the mornings and I'm like, where am I?
Where am I?
Especially if we had a few beers, I wake up.
Not actually. I don't have a few beers, but I would call it more jet lag.
I don't know where I am. I had a few beers here and there, but nothing wild.
Okay, cool. So Vegas.
All right, Vegas.
Yes.
All right, so we filmed the podcast, and then we fucked up and got a bus.
Well, okay, hold up. No. Let's talk about the real story. Okay, guys, bear with us. We're a little bit like crazy because we've had limited amount of sleep.
We just finished another 20-hour flight.
Multiple time zones recently. I've been working all day and I'm a little bit muddled. So let me just put something in perspective. All right. So Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas was crazy. Vegas, to be honest, guys, was not what we expected. It was definitely
it's a little overrated. I reckon Vegas would have been awesome like in the 80s, 90s.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was that Vegas was definitely not like The Hangover.
No.
Because we all thought it was like The Hangover. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And the movies, right?
Yep. And we were actually going to get randomly married in Vegas. Here's a little bit of a funny story. Mm. We're like, hey, should we just get married? I mean, everyone expects us to do crazy shit anyway. And our family is always like, no doubt. Kirsten and Bob are like, hey, I'm getting married next week. Can you make it to Dubai or something crazy? So we were going to actually get married in Vegas. And we were going to do like the Elvis wedding, just something crazy. And it's funny because the whole thing is that back in the day, 2 or 3 years ago, we would have had the biggest wedding. We were YouTube streamed it. We wanted everyone there. Yeah. And as you get older and the more that we've grown and evolved and the more success we've had, the smaller and smaller our circle has got. So small that it's basically just us and maybe a couple of friends. Mm. So we were going to get married in Vegas. And guys, I didn't actually know it was a real wedding.
Yes. I thought it was just a fake thing.
And then
I thought it was just a bit of a gimmicky thing.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh yeah, I better just Google this. And I was like, holy fuck, like we're actually getting married. And beforehand I was like, yeah, cool, let's just do it. Then the reality hit and I was like, oh God. it's like I'm going to be married. Like it just was like such an overwhelming thing. Then I got sick. So we all got sick, and then we're running out of time. And I was like, he was like, "Are we getting married or are we not?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, I feel so rushed. Like I'm
unprepared for this." And that's been the whole our life.
Yeah, so rushed and so fast.
Most places we've gone to, we've not had hotel rooms the next day.
Yeah.
Or flights out of the city we're in. So it was cool for a reason.
And we should actually talk about that.
Well, yeah, I've got that in my notes. So, but let's go back to
so then. We were heading to LA the next day. And here's me being super transparent, and all relationships are different, guys. And if you think that we don't have our shit, we absolutely do. And I really love to I'm perfect, obviously.
Me
and
too.
Bo is always the problem. You know? You're the problem, it's not me. Is that how it goes?
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So we had talked about going to the strippers, which is like, you know, we do it, it's fine, it's we do it all the time. When
we went to a sex show last night in Pattaya.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, so.
That's just to keep the listeners on.
That's exactly right. So anyway, I was like, you know what? I'm too sick. Like, I need to go home. I'd been out gambling and stuff like that. You know, had a cheeky little roulette. And then I was like, I need to go home. Like, my throat was so scratchy and sore. So I want to go home. And I said, I'm not going. Anyway, Bo was like, I'm going out, Bo. And I was like, cool, go out. Like, I've got no problem with Bo going out.
I always go exploring by myself.
He goes exploring by himself, and I love it because I get to have my alone time with my kids, and that's where I find my happiness is also where I fill up my own cup. And Bo fills up his cup by, like, you know, talking his ear off to even Grandma, who's 90 down the street. If he could talk, she could talk. He's having a conversation. So anyway.
I'm an extrovert, I get coins.
Then I had a look. So he left. And I went into my bank statement for some reason, and it came up with, what was the name of it? Anyway, it came up with the strip club, and I lost it, absolutely lost it. And it's not the fact that he can go to the strip club and stuff like that. That doesn't even bother me. For me, it was that we'd already had a conversation that that's not happening and we're not going, and I found it completely disrespectful that, you know, he would go by himself. Now, for Bo, Bo's side of the story is what?
I had massive FOMO. They have the biggest strip club in the world. You go check it
out. Okay, but what was the real what was the reason you told me? Here we go. Here comes the truth.
I'm trying to think of the name of it. But I got a free limo.
There you go.
And a free drink.
Wait, there you go, guys. You actually just heard the real we're gonna have nothing now. Oh, the exposure on the podcast.
Yeah. I met this guy. I met all these promotion guys. They got me tickets to what was the guy's name, Tiger or something?
Yeah.
I went to this Tiger thing, and Tiger didn't come on till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, which is crazy. You're never going to see me out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, bro, I was there till 1.
I would be up at 2, 3 in the morning working.
I think I was there. They said it was going to be 1, and I stayed out till 1. And well, anyway, back to the story. Yeah. I went in out of this limo into the strip club.
So the reason, so his thing was, babe, I got a free limo.
It was
limo.
Our last night.
It was our last night, and you got a free limo, you got a free drink, blah, 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 and then he was gone to Tiger. And I was
come
like,
come on, boys, please. All the men, my men followers,
and
shot
he's like,
right
I only
now.
Went in for like a couple minutes. I'm like,
I literally went straight to the bar and left.
I was like, I don't give a fuck. It's the fact that you went in, you know? And so there was a
jelly.
Definitely not jealous. I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, anyway, for
well, we
me,
were supposed to go together.
Yeah,
that's
it was disrespect thing.
Even if I went
there was,
to the
there was blurred
place
lines.
Today.
And this is the thing, guys, like, even when you have a really good communicating relationship, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, we are still humans. We are going to do the things we want to do, regardless of sometimes we can't see the consequences at the time. Mm. So this was the consequences, dun, 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 coming in. The next day, we were going to LA by bus. Now, we were originally going to be flying.
The flights were crazy.
They went from like, you know, $100 you know, a person.
Yeah, but it was also not even the price. The times and shit.
But it went up to like $1,000, and then the times are not right. There's multiple layers, and I was like, oi, let's get a bus. Now, so we booked the bus,
and I was like, let's have the experience, right, of driving from
Vegas to LA, and we can sort of see what's in between. Absolutely nothing, I might add. Fucking hell. Do not recommend it at all. And I was like, you know what? He wants to fucking play this game. Cool. Let's see if this guy actually set his alarm because we were leaving at 6 in the morning. Now, Bo got home at like 3, 4 in the morning. And I thought, you know what? I'm turning off my alarm clock. I'm not going to be the person who's going to carry this relationship. For me, we were already single. I was like, it's fucking done. Get the fuck out of my life. Anyway, we can all relate. Sometimes we have these emotional outbursts, and it doesn't matter how many tools and stuff you have. Sometimes when you get hurt,
did you try taking a breath?
You get triggered. I'm going to fucking give you a breath, mate. Breathe you all the way out of here.
Hey. Anyway, we're breath workers, all right? You got to take a breath.
So
don't ever tell an angry
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to set this alarm. So I turned my alarm off, and then he woke up. I heard him wake up, and I could hear his like, holy shit! Like, quickly rolled over, grabbed his phone. And he was like, all I heard was, cursed, are you awake? I was wide awake because I was fucking furious. And I just stayed quiet. And he's like, it's 7:30. Did you set your alarm? And I rose from the dead. And I said, did you set your alarm, big boy?
Stupid voice.
Who wanted to go to the strip and stuff like that? I said, you can go by yourself. I'm flying back to Australia, blah, blah, blah. He's like, what do you mean? So he's on the thing saying, hey, you know, guys, we just missed our bus. Like, can we get on another bus? Yeah. There was no refunds. Can we get on another bus? Like, all this stuff. I said, I'm not going with you. Anyway, we had this back and forth like argument. Obviously, I'm very stubborn as well when it comes to this type of stuff. I am a person. Yes. I like to stand my ground. I am a fierce, confident female.
I'm an oak tree.
Yeah, I'm a fucking oak tree. And anyway, so a few hours later when he had finished like licking his wound because I wasn't going to be fucking talking to him, we ended up getting the bus to LA hours and hours later.
We kissed and made up. And we got on the bus.
I didn't kiss him. We got on the bus and I went down in the back and prayed to God. One thing I'll tell you, me and Noah and Carson, we all get really bad car sickness. This is the reason why I don't go in a lot of things. I hate roller coasters, all that kind of stuff. Noah got out. He vomited. I felt kind of seedy and sick as well. And just on that, guys, I want to just before we go, I know this is a travel post that we're doing, travel post, travel podcast. But there was something that really was interesting that came up for me when I was on that bus. So I was sitting next to a lady. She was, I think, from maybe like South Africa. She had a missing eye. She very, very beaten looking, as in like looks like years ago. She had missing teeth. She had a missing eye. And it's very interesting what comes up for you. So I was sitting next to her. Now, a part of me, I wanted to like buy her lunch and help her out. And then I had this parts conflict inside of me was, how dare you do that? Like, you know, it's insulting. You haven't, like that white privilege type thing. You haven't experienced this. You know, it's insulting to help like that. And I really seen my shadow in that moment of what I was feeling and why. There's been many times when I've wanted to do things for the homeless, but I've had this, I can't do that because you've never been homeless. Whereas I could do DV or addiction because I've had both of those things. And it was super interesting. And I was like, do you know what? That is crazy because it's me that's making the story. I'm creating a story about that person's going to be like, oh, you know, like, how dare you help me out?
Don't feel sorry for me.
Like all this kind of stuff. And it was very interesting just to see my shadow come up. And so that's something that I'm now working on because this year we're bringing out the Believe Foundation and it is, it's not fully developed yet, but it's something that I'm really, really passionate about. And, you know me, bro. If you've been following me for years, I've been doing this stuff since I was 19 years old.
You know, and you also know what help actually looks like and what
that's just exactly right. And I want to give
sorry for someone looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I want to give people solutions. Like it's always been my
long-term
thing.
Solutions,
long-term
right?
solutions, not a quick fix. And it's always been a really big plan for me. It's why I've always been like, I need to be ultra rich because thank you, baby. Because I've always wanted to have a whole lot of land, build houses on there, and then rehabilitate the homeless and it'd be like a 12 to 24 month program where they pay rent, but as actually the rent will be paying off their mortgage if they wanted to buy the house afterwards. And we teach them finances, cooking, you know, all of the basic functions and also do all
of the breathwork mindset,
manifestation, breakthrough in the habits. It's always been a freaking goal of mine have a massive piece of land and be able to do this for the homeless to be part of the solution. And we'll get on soon to Vancouver because Vancouver was the biggest shock of our life. But LA. So then we got to LA.
Yeah, we got to LA and we were still recovering. Everyone still kind of was just getting rid of that
I was actually really, really sick. Like we got into LA and you had work that day. So you had the masterclass.
I went into this little ass gym in this hotel and that stayed in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And we stayed down the road and I went into this tiniest gym you've ever seen with one treadmill and a weight in it. And I set my laptop up on a bin, so tired, no sleep, sick as fuck, and showed up for WeBre Success. Was it a Wednesday?
It was a Tuesday. I think it was a Tuesday. And you know, the crazy thing is, guys, is like, you know, when you're traveling, we've got this, like, we've obviously got the kids, we're traveling, we're going through time zones, we're tired, we're sick, we've got, you know, we had personal issues that day as well. Yeah. But and we have it. We have work,
you
know. We still show up for our people. We still put in the energy. You still show up 100%. This is what this is all about. And you know, and this is the ins and outs of traveling when you're working. Like, internet's not always going to be great, and that's a hard thing with internet. You know, being able to have the right location and things like that as well. You have to make do with the locations that you have. And I want you guys to take this on for life as well. And that nothing is ever going to be perfect. And even when you think that something's perfect, there'll be holes in there that you can do things better. But also make the best out of any situation. We could have been like, oh my God, we can't do this session. Maybe we could call someone else.
It's a little bit like being in Thailand. Like you get up and you can't get a coffee till 9, 10 o'clock.
Which is, again, we're going to talk about that, because this has been like a whole, like, you know, again, we are constantly having to pivot and shift. And I think that is what we're really winning in life and why we're able to get so much success. And I know there's a lot of people looking at us recently, and we've had so many messages. My inbox has been pumped. So has Bo's, and so has our Believe in Your Breath, just about like, holy shit, like, I've watched your journey over the last couple of years, and you've just absolutely exploded and expanded and stuff like that. But that's because in 2024, we made the biggest leap of our life. And once we made that biggest leap moving to Bali is when we truly had the massive breakthroughs. Yeah. Then we became hypnotherapists as well, NLP practitioners, and we really started to change and break the norm. And when you do the first step, guys, when you break the first step, which is always the hardest, because there's self-doubt in there, there's like, am I going to be able to do this? What does my family think? What are my friends? You're breaking through all of these things, these conditionings, these patterns.
Of course.
But then you do it and you survived.
Yeah, and the more you do it, the more
it's easier.
It's easier for you, but then you start to disconnect from all these people that
It's
a lonely place. They say, like, you know,
it's a lonely place, or whatever you want to call it,
healing, being an entrepreneur, success, that route of like when you go off in a direction, it can be lonely for a while. There can be some really dark places too where you get stuck and you're like, I've come this far. You look back, you can't see the future. You've gone too far to go back that way, or you jump a fence and then you're like, you don't know, you don't belong back on the other side of the fence. But today I said, one of the things I said today, we were on a boat. Is I said that my highest value in life is giving my family experiences, you know? And I lived through Harvey because I didn't do a lot as a kid because I was a crazy ADHD nightmare. My parents couldn't handle me, so they didn't take me. I didn't go on a plane until I was 22. I didn't do a lot of traveling and stuff like that. I went to Margaret River and stuff like that down south of Perth, but I didn't do much.
You didn't get on a plane.
I didn't go to many restaurants.
How old were you when you were in
first 22.
Yeah.
And let me talk about this. I actually hate flying, and I still hate flying, and I used to work FIFO as well. So these are other things. Like, you know, we had a person in WeBre Success who got on a first flight because of our Bali retreat, which was awesome, and I spoke her through that, and I could shine that light because I'm that person.
And she almost didn't get on that flight.
That's right, and it comes down to breathwork and mindset.
And she had the most amazing
time. Using hypnotherapy and all. Yeah, she was super proud of herself, and so was everyone else. But, like, for me, people don't realize how much flying taking off gives me anxiety, and I know how safe planes are. I know that I get on a scooter and ride around on motorbikes. They're so much more dangerous. Yeah. You know, I'll go and do dangerous things.
Scooter crashes than flying.
There's more
crashes.
Deaths, yeah. So, but, you know, for me, like, that trigger could be back from watching air crash investigation as a kid or watching movies, and something's just cemented into the amygdala and that part of the brain that fires the limbic system to tell you that it's not safe. Sometimes I'm, like, great on a flight. I'll have a couple of beers or whatever, but sometimes I have this, like, full ick inside of me where I'm sweating, and then my brain goes back to Final Destination and goes, yeah, your body's telling you it's going to crash. Now you have to run off and get your family off the plane. And like, why am I feeling this?
I reckon that if the plane was crashing, you wouldn't be running to get your family off the plane. You'd be running yourself.
No, I'm saying on Final Destination, he gets this vision and then he gets everyone off, and then it crashes and everyone's like, how did you know? Like, so I always get these things like, is this intuition or is this just anxiety?
I deal with that all the time.
Yeah, so when I have a parts conflict or a problem conflict, I'm like, okay, well, my heart is saying this. Is that, you know, is that mean I have to follow that? Or is that my comfort zone that I have to break through? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so
sometimes your brain's telling you not to do something and giving you every negative reason why not to try and protect itself. Like, don't start that business. You're going to fail. You'll be broke. You'll be bankrupt. Everyone will laugh at you. Your parents told you not to. So you've got all that. And then it's like, is that intuition? should I just not do it and work for the man? Or is it, no, fuck this. I have to break through these patterns. I have to break through these thoughts, these feelings, these emotions to get to the next level. So I sort of have those. But the more breath work you do and the more embodiment and the more like
more
work you do.
More and getting curious about feelings.
You get super clear. You're like, that's exactly what I need to do. I know that. I know that's a little bit of anxiety. So, you know.
Which we now change anxiety to excitement because it's the same biochemistry.
As we spoke about that last time. Yeah, the same exact biochemistry in the body is, you know. So it's all a mindset thing, whether you're associating it to saying negative or positive or how you feel about it.
That's right.
So we went to LA. We only really had one day there. We went to Santa Monica Pier. I didn't really think it was that great. There was a lot of homeless everywhere. It was like really like, you know.
In Santa Monica?
Yeah, the pier. There was like a lot of like, I don't know, but I think we spoke about this a little bit in Las Vegas, but like how like outgoing and how direct Americans are. You're like, yo, what's up, Ace? You know, that guy. And like, hey, Madonna, like that chick. Like, I love those sort of people.
I love the bold.
You get in an Uber and the guy's like, hey, Bo, I got you, man. Pull around. Jump in, brother. How are you, bro? Like, they give you the.
And the energy's awesome and you're laughing. Like, I'm already smiling and laughing before they even talk because I know when they talk, it's going to be hilarious. Like, I already feel it, you know?
And that's right. And then, like, we've been in so many countries over the last thing now. And like, now I said this today, we've actually been here in Pattaya and Bangkok when you were your boobs done when we first got together. And we had a great time.
In 2019.
That's right. But we were looking through the eyes, the lens that we were looking through at that point in our life was like, this is a holiday. It's different. It's crazy. We hadn't lived in Bali yet. We hadn't traveled
much. We hadn't really gone to Bali. Like, I'd gone to Bali a couple of times.
That's right. So, like, we didn't have, like, a trajectory of things to compare to either. Yeah. So now, like, we compare everything to Bali because we're there a year and we love it. Every time something happens, we're like, oh, you know, this wouldn't happen in Bali. Or, you know, this isn't like Bali. And, like, and this is the thing. Bali is now our comfort zone, which that was scary to move to. Now Bali is such our comfort zone. We've got our favorite places. Yeah. We've got friends there.
I've got my favorite cafe.
It's cheap. It's easy. Yeah, your favorite coffee, your cafe. We've got babysitters.
But you know what? Can I just say this? Villas. People keep saying it's cheap, but it's definitely not, guys. I really want to say this in your – I think
you can definitely live cheaper there if you wanted
to. You can, but I don't. Bali is definitely not as cheap as what people think. Like, you know, we were spending $4,500 to $5,000 on a villa.
But look at our villa.
But exactly. But I mean, like, you know, it's not as cheap as what people think anymore whatsoever. Food is not always as cheap. Like, you know, yes, you can eat some things that are cheaper, but Bali in general is not as cheap as people think. But however, like, you know, you're not like when you get a scooter, it costs you $7 to fill up in petrol.
And that might last you 2 weeks,
you know?
But like if you wanted to move to Bali single and you went and stayed in like a little guest house, and you ate fucking where the locals eat and all that sort of
for
shit.
Sure. Wait, but what happened when you ate where the locals eat?
Oh, I got a worm. I was fucking sick for ages.
He was so excited to have his like $1 meal and I was I'm not eating that.
Everyone eat the fucking worms. That's why we're here.
I was like, I'm not doing that. That's not for me. And then Bo got sick.
All right, let's get off track. So we went to LA. The reason we only spent a day or two in LA because we already had flights up to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And we chose to stay in Vancouver for a little bit before going out to Whistler. So Whistler's like one of the best ski locations in the world.
So let's talk about Vancouver first. So we
wish we stayed longer in LA.
100%.
We didn't get to do enough in LA. We walked through Hollywood for a second. We went down into this. We didn't get to experience LA to what we wanted to.
Yeah.
And plus we're still on the end of six, so it was really hard.
And we're still tired. And that's another thing, guys, like, you know, going back to when we first got over there, we done like that 16-hour flight and we went straight into work the next day.
Actually, we did a three-day business retreat in Arizona and we were like, our eyes were hanging out the other head.
I was falling asleep at the event.
We really did well this time with jet lag. But anyway, back to that. We stayed in Vancouver a little too long. Now, I want to speak on Vancouver. I know there's a lot of stuff going on TikTok, and I guess that's coming up in my feed because I was there and location, but the homeless
I'm going to speak on this first because it was, guys, shocking. Like, I've never seen anything like it. So the first day we went to the shops and I seen – one guy like fully bent over and walking. And I was like, whoa, okay, you know, one person. Then I seen a second person bent over and then a third person. And I said to Bo, what the hell is going on here? Like, is there something in the water? Like, why are these people all bent over? They come from the mental institution. Like, I've never
bent backs and stuff.
Bent backs and full hunchbacks and like walking, like, you know, like
something out of a zombie movie.
It's something I've never seen before. So that, that was the first thing. The next day we went and got breakfast and we had to drive down the street in an Uber. And I have never seen what it was shocking. And these people were completely
zombified,
but their bodies were all in these weird shapes. And I said to the guy, what is wrong with these people? Like, what?
You're like, no one drink the water here.
Yeah, what is going on? And he said they're all on fentanyl. And I'm like, so does that make their body twist up like that? What is this? And he said, do you see that girl over there in the white? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's their dealer. I have this inner rage inside of me. For one, I was like, what the fuck is the government doing? This is crazy. And I'm talking about, I'm not talking about like a couple of people. I'm talking about hundreds of people, and they're all looking the same. We watch people in daylight, broad daylight, smoking crack
through these long pipes.
Like these through
out in the street.
Like a hose, through a hose thing. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I've seen that girl, like, you know, supplying all these zombified humans, which I would not even say these people are humans. And the sad thing to say here is that I don't even feel or think that these people could be rehabilitated. They are so far gone. Their bodies are so far. Their bodies are so far bent and twisted that I don't even think you could stretch these guys back into a normal position. And you can't even go and have a conversation. As we're going down the street, there was that six of them all together in a circle. And it was literally like I was in a movie and I pushed pause and they didn't move. And they were in these positions, standing up completely off their face in these circles. And it was super heartbreaking. And like I said, I had an evoke of emotions come through because I did a lot more research after that because I was like, why is the government doing anything? People are lighting fires in the middle of the night because it's obviously freezing in Vancouver.
Yeah, so
they're lighting fires. There's lots of violence and stuff. But
there's murders and stuff.
The police can't do anything because there's just too many of them.
There's like, you go down one street and there's like hundreds and hundreds every single block. And even the businesses there, they're probably suffering because of it. And, you know, like we talk about Dubai, there's no homeless. Like, it's illegal there. They got a really good system and obviously it's a lot different. And, you know, obviously it's really horrible. But one thing you said to me is what really upset you was that all these kids, all these people were once kids, once babies, once innocent, once blessed into this beautiful world.
I look at Harvey and I'm like,
life and then,
I'm like, they were once just so innocent. And it makes me emotional when I feel like I'm going to cry about it because obviously, like, you know, I feel very blessed that even when in my times of addiction, I had family, I had support, I wasn't homeless. And I think that was the biggest confusing part for me when I went to rehab when I was 18 and 19 because I wasn't one of those which I associated a drug addict or an alcoholic to a person that was homeless with a brown paper bag. That was my, like, connection.
That's
so
right.
I didn't believe that I had a problem because X, Y, and Z. You know, these are the stories we tell ourselves, right? But seeing these people, I'm like, they were once kids. Like, what happened to them? And it could have been different. What if someone just loved them and showed them a different way?
Course.
There could have been a completely different outcome. And I think that was the hardest thing for me. And this is where Belief Foundation came from. And that's why I want to do a lot of work this year in some work with addiction and things like that. There's a lot of things that I want to do because I feel that a lot of it comes down to it. And again, I'll say it. Addiction is just wanting connection. You're just wanting to feel loved. You just want to be held. You want to feel good, you know, and that's what it all comes down to. When I was doing my drugs and alcohol, I just wanted someone to see me, hear me, help me.
100%.
Like I want love. I want to feel whole. And that's what breaks my heart the most because now their environment is just that. And like I said, I don't even believe that these people could be rehabilitated.
Russell Brand said once that when he was using heavy drugs, it was like a warm hug from your mum. And, you know, they've done research and experiments with rats with cocaine and things like that. They put a rat in a lonely, isolated, dark room and put cocaine in one water and no cocaine in the other, and it always goes to the cocaine to get high. When they put the same rats in like a utopia with like plenty of food and water and connection and other rats
exciting,
and mates and all that sort of stuff and nice sunlight
nice,
and
beautiful
that,
environment.
It never takes the cocaine.
Yeah.
So that's really quite interesting to know that, like, you know, it's all to do with the escape. It's all to do with the avoid and the pain. And none of us are taught how to regulate our emotions or our feelings. And we turn to drinking and drugs and alcohol.
You're
and
a perfect example
addictions.
Yourself. You know, like when you were in your past relationship and in your past, when you came into my life, when you were finally shown love and understanding and had someone that was like, hey,
I
like, you know,
changed.
I want to help you. like, you know, what's going on with you? I've got down to your level. I've researched ADHD. How do I be a partner with a partner with it's got ADHD? I sat down and like you broke down and was like, I've never had this before. And look at you, you completely changed.
That's right. And that's why loving your kids in a certain way is so important. Yeah. Because I believe, like, you know, as much as we all love our kids the way we wanted to be loved and parented, a lot of us bring down some of those same fucking chains that were brought down from our parents. So it's sometimes those chains are hard to break. And even though we know, if we have the awareness, we go, fuck, that's exactly what my mom used to do. That's what my dad used to do to me.
Well, like, even at the moment, we're in Thailand and we're hanging out with my parents, and you're like, holy shit, like, you and your mom are just so identical. Mom and Barry are having the same arguments that me and Bo have. It's so crazy.
It might be the way she makes decisions, or it might be the way she reacts to certain things, or it might be, and I'm like, there's similarities. And I don't care what you say, like, as much as you want to break chains from your parents, you are them. You're a product of them, and it's been ingrained very young age and stuff like that. Even though sometimes we don't want to be like our parents or whatever, we think we're totally different, there's going to be a lot of underlying things.
100%. And I've always said that as well.
Yeah, these people in Vancouver, it was just crazy to see. You know, there's people with like no legs smoking crack.
Yeah.
And obviously the healthcare and
I couldn't believe that. Like I even said to the guy, like, what's up with the healthcare then? Because these people were, like you said, there were so many people on the streets in wheelchairs.
I feel like I'm not in a politics. I don't want to stand out here and create like debates or anything like that. But I feel like the government have a huge responsibility and a definitely big finger to point at, because if I was like the governor or I had some sort of say and my city was like had streets like that, you'd got to get down there and do something. I don't know what the fuck you do.
You create a center. You do rehabilitation.
There's something. And like you said, a lot of these people are that far gone that they're that fuck. Like from my understanding, what happens is, to get you guys know, we watched this YouTube the other day. It says, you don't want to be mugged in Vancouver, then do this and leaning over. Like, basically, it kind of looks like you're bent so far over that you're trying to touch your toes, like, do that stretch.
Yeah.
Their neck is all the way down. Or some of them are, like, to the side and like, their hands are all fucked. And the fentanyl makes you that fucked that you slump over, but like you're still standing.
It's like you're stiffed and still. Yeah, it's so like weird. It's literally like a game statue.
Yeah, and it's, like, so weird. And they almost look disabled, right?
Yeah.
And then so that was like, and you walk down, you drive down the street and they're all the same. They're all in that same position. It's really fucking bizarre. But you know, like, my thing is, like, they're that far gone mentally and now physically.
Yeah.
Like, their body's all fucked up from this drug. I still kind of don't understand it. But for me, it's like, You don't see that anywhere. Like, you don't see that in Australia.
It's one thing to have a business or even the best product or service. But let's be real. When no-face Jackie32 jumps on Instagram throwing those nasty comments and you make it mean something about you, it doesn't matter how good your business is. You will crumble. That's why you need us.
Welcome to We Breed Success, the ultimate experience for aspiring business owners, entrepreneurs, and coaches who are ready to break through to the next level.
Hi, I'm Kirsty Waddingham.
And I'm Bo Drury.
We're not just any mindset business mentorship. We are the world's best when it comes to mindset, breakthrough, and transformation.
Our approach combines breakthrough breathwork, powerful mindset techniques, manifestation, and strategic business coaching, setting you up for each week for success and action.
If you're truly serious about hitting those 30K months and unlocking explosive growth, you're in the right place.
Success starts with one essential foundation, your mindset. Without it, even the best business strategies will fall apart.
That's why we go deeper than traditional coaching. We offer advanced biohacking and mindset reprogramming with 3 weekly group sessions focused on manifestation, weekly planning, and breakthrough breathwork. We're here to help you break through your old limits, step into extraordinary success, and create unstoppable momentum for growth. We cover it all: mindset, somatic strategy, community, and connection.
So are you ready to be the leader, visionary, and powerhouse that you were meant to be? Click the link below. Let's book a call.
You see homeless people, right? And you see
I've never witnessed that in my life. I couldn't actually believe what I was seeing.
Yeah, we had to throw out our Frank Green water bottles, which that was really hard for me because I lost my first one and brought another one and didn't even
And everyone knows Frank Green is expensive, guys.
They're like $70 a thing. And I'm like, oh, I want to give these to people. So I went down the homeless area and I was trying to, like, And it was scary, man. Like, I'm like a tough dude, you know? But I was down there and I'm like.
Even when he tried to put a deep voice on, it wasn't.
I'm a fucking tough guy. I was like walking up the pit and I was like, I don't know if like they're going to flip on me or what. And I went up to this one chick who seemed like normal and she was like obviously homeless sitting on the floor eating. And I was like, hey, do you want a brand new Frank? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, I'm not asking another person. And I felt really bad because I threw them in the bin. But I wanted to give them to somebody, you know, and like last, we just moved from the cold to here. So I wanted to give all Harvey's clothes away. Went down and
I gave out the
snowboard thing that we brought. Like, I hate throwing shit away. Yeah. Like, you know me, I'm not a hoarder, but I'm like, I think it's a waste. Like, you know, someone else can use it. I want them to use it. In Bali, we gave all our clothes to a foundation, you know, like I'll take my time to do shit like that.
Yeah.
Order cabs to get it picked up. But anyway, so we headed to Vancouver. We were there for too long.
Way too long.
We were cabin fevered out.
Yeah.
We were all hated.
Can I say with the Vancouver? Vancouver was wet and cold. It was miserable. It reminded me of Christchurch, New Zealand, where I'm actually from. I didn't like it. It was it wasn't good. But we went there because we're like, oh, we'll go there for a few days before we go to Whistler for Christmas. And then we got to Whistler. So
we headed up on a bus in the morning and I was so excited. I've never seen snow before. Yeah. We headed out and about halfway out, it was about a 2-hour drive from Vancouver to Whistler. And they started seeing snow on the side of the road. So like, are you excited? I'm like, yeah.
I was so excited for Bo because, you know, if you didn't know, Bo and the kids have not seen snow. I grew up in some snow because I grew up in Twizel. And I grew up snowboarding and skiing and it's been over 20 years.
You like snow until you have to live in it. Your dad said to me yesterday, he goes, yeah, it's good until you have to shovel it off your driveway in the morning. I'm like, it can be annoying. Like, it's slippery, it's wet, it's cold.
It's just another thing, right? You know, like, whether you're brought up in, like, you know, when you're in a place that's really raining or, you know.
But it was beautiful. So was stunning. So what happened was we went out there, like, a few days before Christmas and we got this really nice room.
So we came in, hang on, so we got into Whistler.
Oh, and the kids went straight in.
The kids went, they just jumped and plowed into the snow and it was crazy for me. For me, like, you know, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to go to Whistler. I didn't want to go to Vancouver. I didn't want to be in the cold, but I was really doing this for Bo. I really wanted him to experience it. He said so many times, like, I want to see the snow. It was more for you. He wanted to see the snow. And I was like, you know what? Let's have a white Christmas. Let's just do it. And this is a decision we made in November. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, we booked the flights and we were in Vancouver. So I was really doing it for him. However, again, here's the mirror of the shadow. I found out that I really did it for me because I truly found myself again.
Soon as I got off that bus, it wasn't as wet. It was a dry cold.
I had this beautiful nervous system relaxation. Like, I've missed this. And I didn't think I was going to feel like that at all. And I was just so – I felt so awesome to share this with the people I love. I felt so comfortable in the snow, which is not like me. I moved from New Zealand to be in heat. To Perth,
and you still hate the cold.
And I still hate the cold. And I am the first person to put on a hoodie in Thailand and things like that when Bo's like sweaty profusely. but like, you know, I am that person, and so I truly felt magical. And you know, we got our room, and we were having hot chocolates and
shots. Every time we go to the club, they'd just love their shots.
And what I do love, like Whistler, is very much like Queenstown. So you know, we spent a lot of time snowboarding and skiing in Queenstown, and it was very similar. I felt like I was at home. And we walked up the mountain for the first day and we had a look around and I was like,
it was a beautiful little town.
And it was sunny. So there's snow on the ground and it was warm, guys. Like there was sun, there was blue skies, there was, you know, and this is what I loved about, you know, back home. And so we're walking up this path and I said to Bo, I have suppressed this side of me. Because if you don't know, back then, in those days when I used to be, like, I used to be a professional skier.
I failed to see it. Still failing.
I wasn't a professional skier, but I used to do skiing competitions and things like that. Like, I loved skiing. I loved snowboarding. I've shot rifles. I've done things. I've flown glided planes and stuff like that.
Always made this joke.
I've got a pass, and Bo was like, what do you mean? Like, who the fuck am I even getting married to? Like, what do you mean you've flown planes before? I'm like, I was kind of like, you know, a big deal back then. I did things.
And then I said to you.
Yeah, what did you say?
I said to you, what happened?
That's exactly right. And he said, like, what happened?
Yeah, you can be. You're fun. I love you.
I became serious. So serious when I had kids, I felt like, you know, I had to protect. And so
me and Harvey were doing something. You're like, stop doing
that.
That's
exactly right.
And this is why you're not allowed to come to theme parks or water parks anymore.
This is right.
Because we can't have fun when you're around.
It's okay.
You hear that?
and I'm okay to not come. I'm okay to have fun and not know. Then they'll come home and tell me things. I'm like, don't fucking tell me. Like, just enjoy the time.
You came
home alive. You don't need to tell me what happened. So my thing is this, is that, yeah, I walked up there and I was like, I felt this feeling inside of me. And I was like,
adventurous.
I have totally forgotten and I have totally suppressed for many, many years my adventurous side. And going back to that conversation, it's because I chose drinking and drugs.
Yeah.
And so I lost myself, which I was a basketball player, loved basketball. I went to tournaments for basketball as well. I was a netball player. I was into snowboarding and skiing. I was going up this mountain. I had this ultimate feeling of gratitude for my parents because my mom, you know, sometimes, you know, mom and Barry, my mom worked two jobs sometimes to make sure that we, you know, we got all the good things in life. Like we never missed out. We weren't rich. We weren't wealthy, but we weren't poor. We were probably, you know, middle class. My family definitely made sure that we were always got to do things. And we paid nearly $2,500 to go up the mountain that day.
Higher skis, ski pass was like 300 Australian each.
350 each. Like it was a crazy expensive day. And I had this ultimate just gratitude for my family. It gave me so much opportunities. Unfortunately, you know, I lost myself into drugs and alcohol. And, you know, so from the age of probably 16, 17 is I gave up all of the stuff. You know, I'd been doing this since I was about 7, 8. And I gave it all up and then I forgot what it was like to have that side of me. It became serious. It became, you know, I got out of addiction. I then had a baby. Yeah. I was in DV and then getting through that.
So it was sort of like
So it was like, you know, slam.
Slam in the timeline where everything changed.
That's exactly right. And so all of the adventurous side of me got shut down. And so I also, guys, used to be a cross-country runner. I used to win all my races. I used to do sprints. I won all those. Like I was actually really, really.
Do you remember when we drove past the mountain?
I'm also a high achiever.
I used to fucking climb mountains like that. I was trying to say before, and you're like, and I was like, shut up, Kirstie. Like, you did not. And you're like, yeah. And then my mate fell, and I caught him, and I threw the backpack on my bag, and we fucking, I took him. And I'm like, if you know Kirstie, you're like, she's not the adventurous type to me.
Yeah.
I know the adult version of you, but you're amazing in all the other ways. But, you know, like, I'm the one to do all that crazy shit.
That's
and you're like,
right.
Fuck that, go do that by yourself. But it's just funny because you're like, yeah, see that mountain up there? Like, I remember hanging off the side of mountains and cliffs and shit.
I used to do abseiling and stuff.
Okay, here we go.
Next minute
she's going to tell me climbing. I was an astronaut.
I used to do all of those things. And, like, guys, when we go back to this, he was talking about air cadets. I was an air cadet. I did have a rifle. I did do marching. I did do all those things. Yes, I had to march in line. Yeah, I know. And I did think about going to the army, but then I chose, again, drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. And isn't that like a, you know, and it's a thing where you look back on and you go, what would my life be like now? Would it be better or would it be worse? Like, you don't know, but you just need to
be
positive about everything that you learned. And now, like, look at what value you give people.
I truly
totally
believe
that
my mindset from 19 years old, when I first picked up that book, You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hayes, and that the reason, and just to get some context on why I picked that out, I know we're going off the track a little bit, but the reason why I put out that book is because I worked in retail. My partner at the time was in jail, which is Carson's dad. And I seen this lady, she was 30 years old. And she was always happy. She was 30. I said, why the fuck are you always happy? How can you be always happy? This is like impossible because I was miserable and everything for me, I was the most negative person alive. And I know that anyone hearing this is probably like, what the fuck, how? I was so negative. I blamed the world for all of my problems. Yep. Everyone else was a problem. I definitely wasn't. I could never take responsibility for anything. It was always someone else's. You triggered me. You did this. I reacted because of this X, Y, and Z. Yeah. So I had a very, very negative mindset. And also you're a product of your environment, you know, my family were very, very similar and stuff like that. And I just, you're just a product of your environment. So I was 19. This girl said to me, when my dad died, I was told to pick up this book called You Can Heal Your Life. Yeah. And it absolutely changed me. And I was like, what a crock of shit. Because I've never read a book in my life. And she was like, honestly, like, you know, you should read it. And then she said, there's also affirmations in there for, you know, if things going on, there's actually reasons why. And I was getting migraines. I've always suffered with migraines, but fast forward like a few days later, I found out I was pregnant. He was in jail. All the stuff was going on. So my life was very, very toxic and crazy and all the things. And she said to me, grab the book And in the book, it had affirmations for migraines. So I started to say the affirmation. And the affirmation was, I love and approve of myself. I see myself in the eyes of love. I am safe. And I still remember this 21 years later. So every time I'd get this migraine, or the migraine would start coming on, and the reason why I couldn't take medication because I was pregnant, you know. So I started saying this affirmation. And I couldn't believe it. Like, I was not, it was working. And she said, keep doing it. Then, you know, obviously I read the book. And the one thing, and I still live by this today, the one thing that stood out for me was, a thought is just a thought, and a thought can be changed.
I love that.
Change the thought, change the emotion, change the feeling, change the outcome. 100%. And that was a moment everything changed for me, because every single negative thought that I had from the age of 19 years old, I started to go, that's not my thought. I will not let that be my emotion. And so that was a and moment my and my outcome, because I knew that I was in control. And it felt like this sense of power. I had control. I had control over things. It's, you know, like I now, like, you know, yes, my partner's in jail. Yes, it sucks. It's horrible. Yes, I'm pregnant. Like, all of these things were going on. But I still had thought I could control my thoughts. And that was the changing. That was the moment everything changed my life. And, you know, this is 21 years of self-development from that moment.
Let's talk about what we were talking about yesterday in the shower, when I said, when people...
We have our best conversations in the shower.
Yeah, we do business meetings and some other things.
Mainly business.
And other things. Washing your body being one of the main ones. Sometimes a hair. Yeah. So I said that, like, with people wanting to do the work, a lot of the change happens when you learn self-love, because you show up for yourself. And, you know, you said, well, that's not true, because a lot of people's why are for an external reason. Yours being your first son, Carson, you got pregnant and you said, okay, I've done this shit to myself, but I will not drag another human being into this. So you picked up the books and you started doing the work, which brought you into a 19-year journey of self-development.
It also was the reason how I, when James got out of jail, Carson's dad, and when the abuse started again, that guy would have probably killed me, or I would have ended my life, or I would have gone back to drugs and alcohol. But because I had a child, I didn't love myself enough to leave, but I 100% loved my child enough to leave. And so this is why I always say, people always say, like, you know, you need to put yourself first. Yes, I 100% agree. But sometimes when you're in such a dark place, sometimes it is okay to leverage using someone else as your why for a moment.
Your
why for a moment, your drive. And once you build yourself up enough to get through that, and then you start working on yourself, then you can reverse engineer that and go back into yourself.
That's exactly what I was saying. So, yeah, and that's it. And then now I like, you've done so much work, you know that it's all for you. Yeah. And then you know that when you put in that work, Carson and your kids and your partner get the version of you, and you do, and everything's better. Like, a lot of people come to us and they're like, I want to be better mom, better for my kids. I'm like, that's awesome. Let's use that why and that drive, but let's do it for you.
Yeah.
And let's start to learn how to do it more for us and make it feel good to fucking work on us and show up for us and spend money on us and put ourselves in containers and programs. And
invest in you.
So that went off track a little bit. Yeah.
But we got to Whistler. So
yeah, we're in Whistler.
Adventurous. We loved it. The kids were in snow. It was just absolutely magical.
Well, it didn't snow yet. It was on the first day, it was nice. And the second day was horrible, remember? And we're like so lucky. So
it had a little bit of snow. The second day we started snowing.
A little bit.
Yes,
but remember we had that really rainy day?
Yeah, it was slushy. That was the second day. But that was the day we actually went up the mountain.
That's right. And I wanted to talk about, so I went to hire skis for 3 days and you're like, nah, don't do that. If we need it, we'll come back and get it again. And then what happened was, I was like, okay, well, my thing was like, no, I'm skiing every day, you know? And then we went up and like everyone was fucking knackered. Like the kids had had enough.
Harvey, this is also another learning. So this is where unconscious programming is always inside of you, and until you understand it, have awareness around it, get curious around it, things will never change. So my thing is that I started skiing and snowboarding from a very young age. I got the mountain with my school, all right? So in Twizel, we got a good chunk of the winter off to be able to ski and snowboard. As long as our schoolwork and stuff was done, we were allowed to go up the mountain, the school would take us. So we went up with my classmates. There was always lessons. So we always had a lesson first and then we'd go ahead and do our thing to be signed off. I totally forgot about those steps. So we went and hired all our ski stuff in the morning. We're running out of time, guys. So the mountain opens at 8 and it closes at 3.
Harvey was cracking it all morning.
It closes at 3 because well. Whistler, as it gets very, very dark.
Early.
Yeah, early dark because we're not into the next side of daylight savings maybe or, like, you know, just gets lighter yeah, towards that, the yeah, end. I can't remember. Earth, yeah. But anyway, it gets really dark. So 8 till 3, it is open. We went and got the stuff. We kitted out the kids. We then went and got our passes, which I almost died. I couldn't believe how expensive it was. And I never even thought for 1 second I need to get the kids lessons. We just went up the fucking mountain. Number one biggest mistake. Should never have done that. Because one, I'm not trained enough to teach my kids. I also wanted to ski myself, you know, so I should have put
Harvey. It's like being a driver in a car and then you send your kids to a driver instructor because you already have bad habits.
That's which I did for Carson. So I don't even know why I did.
And it's like, imagine trying to teach your kid how to drive a clutch. Like, you know how to do
it. But also imagine that, like, you haven't driven for 20 years and then all of a sudden you've got to remember how to drive and the clutch and all that kind of stuff, all the things.
And they have the right steps and pizza, yeah. French fry.
Pizza, French fry. So that's what I was trying to teach the kids. So Harvey cracked it, you know, fair enough. Like, he was sore,
really
he was
get
tired.
His boots
we
on.
Didn't really get his boots into the skis because of things as well. So Bo was like, hey, I'll go take Harvey up the mountain. We'll go out for lunch and you can hang out with Noah. So I did some stuff with Noah and I was doing some teaching with Noah. And then Noah got a little bit confident and he goes to me, hey, can I go first, Bo? And I said, well, I don't think you've, like, ready to go down the mountain by yourself yet. Just wait. So anyway, he went down the mountain, French fried the whole way, couldn't pizza, and crashed. And he was like, okay, yep, okay, maybe I wasn't ready. I said to him, I'm really proud of you for just going in there and learning lessons and failing fast. Do you want to go again? And he didn't. And I was like, okay, cool. And I would usually push them to keep going. The only thing is, the reason why I didn't was because we're coming to the end of the day. He was exhausted. He was tired. And also, like, you know, if he was doing lessons, it would have been very different. So I got to go up, I got to ski, it was amazing, I had heaps
cool
of fun, you know, and then, you know, I went up to go find Bo. We didn't have any Wi-Fi, so I didn't have Wi-Fi on my phone, Bo had Wi-Fi on his phone, so it was really hard to get communication to each other. I had to go up on the ski lift, the gondola, to go up and to get Bo, and then, you know, we had an argument at the top because I wanted him to come back down, and, like, you know, so there's all of these things going on, so you're tired.
Harvey had
enough.
Frustrated that day. Like, and one of the things that, like, Harvey is very well toilet trained. He weed himself in all his snow gear on the gondola and didn't even tell me about it.
Which is so unlike him.
So unlike
him. I think
he just had enough.
I think also a little bit was like, maybe
you're
he didn't know
the mountains.
He was
it's like,
going
where
to
do you go?
Toilet?
Where do you go to the toilet out there? Yeah. Like, you don't, you know, when he goes to the shopping, he's like, Dad, toilet.
And he was
toilet?
In a full snowsuit.
Yeah, so all that is different to him. I think it was overwhelming. It was super cold. He hadn't been in the cold like that before. So there was a lot to take in. But I let go of that. And then you come up and you're like, he's pissed himself. And there was, like, a lot of frustration. I'm like, mate. I literally just wanted.
I was like, I just want to have a beer.
I want to have a beer at the top of the mountain in the snow, and do some content and some socials and stuff like that. I'd had enough. I only went for like a 10-minute ski and that was it. I was like,
and
just feeling that Harvey didn't ski. Like, there was so
and
much.
And guys, let's just remember this was $2,500 a day, and so there's probably loads of
frustration.
And I was
like, then I was like frustrated. So, you know, I'm just like, we were like, one of the best days was sitting in the cabin by the fire and having a few shots and beers on Christmas Day. That was just wicked.
That was awesome.
Hanging out with the kids there. And then, like, you know, the kids go back to the room. And hey, how's the TikTok videos of, like, the bears getting around in Whistler? Because I was tempted to buy bear spray, but apparently it was in the winter, so the bears and the cougars.
They stay away.
They go hibernating.
How crazy you go to these places and there's, like, you know, animals that you only
people
see.
People say that, like, a lot, everyone goes, oh, fuck, Australia, you got spiders, big spiders. I'm like, you motherfuckers have grizzly bears. They're like 8 foot, fucking 200 kilo, motherfucking rip your head off with one fingernail, fucking 100%. Scary. And they're fast, too. Yeah. They're fast and they're aggressive.
And they can literally fuck you up. Enough spider. Like, see you later, bye. Yeah. Another thing is, like, we had Christmas in Whistler, which was the whole reason
that
why we were there.
That was beautiful. Yeah. It snowed that
so,
day.
So on Christmas Day, it snowed.
We looked out the window, remember? We all woke up.
It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Awesome. But for me, it was really hard, to be honest, to do Christmas because Christmas for me, like, I'm still reprogramming myself. I am a big spender on Christmas. Everyone gets these massive amounts of gifts. It comes from a guilt and shame from working away, being a parent who worked away, all this stuff. And for this, like, I didn't have Carson with me. I didn't have our families there. We just had us, which was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But there was a feeling of really missing peace. And One thing I really want to state, guys, is that I truly realize that Christmas was never about the presents or anything. We hear this all the time.
And you see it on the stories,
right? It was about family.
You see people's stories of the big tree and all the presents and I've done well and I need to tick this box of like.
And all the like Gucci and the LV and all the stuff behind the tree.
You said to me, I'd rather give my kids this experience of snow and traveling than all this plastic shit that they're just going to like sit
and
cover.
And this time, like, you know, the kids didn't get much things because we've, you know, obviously spent so much money traveling and they got to have the experiences.
Well, we can't carry it anywhere.
And there was another thing, we can't carry it everywhere. So it's all these things. But what I truly felt was like, I felt like it wasn't like Christmas because I didn't have the Christmas ham. I didn't have the family experience of all your family and your cousins and everyone coming over, your grandma and granddad, like all the people around you. And so there was almost like a piece of sadness for me at the same time that I was happy that I was giving my kids this experience. There was this sadness that I didn't have Carson there. I didn't have my family and things like that. So again, this is just unconscious programming inside of us, is that our expectations has always been the norm. It didn't feel like Christmas because it didn't feel like Christmas to the Christmas that I know.
That's right.
You know, and so this has been a big thing. In the last 12 months, I've really tried to do a lot of things of reprogramming my overspending on Christmas and birthdays and things like that, giving more of my time. I truly realized that my biggest value in life is time, and I will spend money to get my time back. For instance, like, you know, I would get a house cleaner so I didn't have to spend the time cleaning my house because it was a waste of time for me when I could be making money. The same thing with a lot of things in life. Like if the kids were going through stuff, especially Carson, I'd be like, here's the money. I'd always give them the money, you know? So there were so many things in there, but I realized too late probably with Carson that all the kids ever wanted was time. They wanted their mum home, you know? And so there was a lot of lessons in there as well. And so, yes, Whistler was beautiful. Yes, we had the most incredible experience.
It was both our first time away
from family. Yes, from our family, from the norm.
Which is, there's a little bit of guilt there. Like my family has gotten smaller and more disconnected with a few things that have happened, like all of our families do. And I said, like you said, I remember Christmas being with my cousins and my grandma, and we've obviously had people pass away. You know, people get married and go off and do their own thing. Like cousins are moved away, or they're like, you know, got their own families and doing their own Christmas morning with their kids. So the family's gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. So there's that level of guilt, and there's that.
There's a lot of sadness as well because as you got older, it gets littler. You know, it's not the same.
And you watch all the movies and see everyone's stories, and we always like have this shitty feeling that our life's not as good as everyone else's, which isn't true. But the thing is, you're programmed to believe like that's what you should do on this day of the year, you know, whatever. But for me, it was weird because like my family had Christmas a day before, so on the phone for Christmas with them, and then the next day.
And that's because you were in two different time zones.
That's right. Yep. And there's actually an island off of America where you can actually the time zone where the Earth goes around is in between. You can have New Year's on one, and then you can fly over and do New Year's on the other.
Wow, that's crazy.
The next day, some people do it. They live over there. It's cool. And if I'd have known that before New Year's, we probably would have done that because we're originally going to go to New York. And then things changed and we've got a lot of things going on. We had a lot of collabs. We had a collab, a really important collab in New York, but we had to change. We've come over here, meet your family. Everything's aligned for us.
That's it. So after Whistler, we went back to Vancouver. And so one of our biggest mistakes was that we stayed in Vancouver way too long. And the reason for this, guys, is because me and Bo, over the last year, we have created so much freedom in our life that the freedom in our life has also been the bottleneck in our life to the point where we hadn't planned any of our flights out. We quite often would book accommodation.
We had one accommodation. And that
was inconvenient. We'd book accommodation like, you know, that night for the next day or whatever and change locations. And so there's a lot of learnings in here that we'll do differently. Next time we'll be getting houses over hotels because it was really difficult and challenging at times to have obviously all of us in a hotel room. And the reason why I didn't allow Noah to have his own hotel room, which he does in Thailand and Bali, is because I didn't feel safe him having his own place. I wanted him to, I wanted to be in my container where I could see him.
It's also crazy expensive.
There was all that as well, but that was probably my main thing for safety. And so that's the lesson there. And also, putting some structure in place. We had cabin fever. We shouldn't have stayed in Vancouver so long. We stayed like, I gambled more because I didn't. There was nothing else to do.
I had some
really good oysters. I had some amazing oysters. You had some good dinners.
The thing is like, there's two things here. One thing is like when you don't have a plan, if we're somewhere where we're not liking or enjoying, we can go, do you know what? And this is the one thing I wanted to talk about on this podcast. So what the cool thing was like, you're like, where should we go? And me, I'm a maps guy. You know me, I'm always on maps. Wherever we go, I'm like, let's see what's around, what's up here, what's here. Like, I'm using
Google. I still can't read a map, even though it's a
Google
and
I'm like, oh, it's west. And you're like, what are you talking about? Like, so anyway, the coolest thing that I thought was that I jump on Google Maps and I zoom out and I have a look around like where I want to go. You know, when you throw the dart at the globe and then we're like Hawaii, like let's go to Hawaii. Like why not? And then we straight on flights, looking at flights to Hawaii. And then we're like, what if we go over to New York and do this? Then we're looking at accommodation in these areas. That to me is fun. That's like cool. But then also, like you said, it's also expensive doing it all last minute. You don't get the right flights. You're not sitting together.
We couldn't get accommodation in Hawaii super expensive for them.
Yeah. So all those sort of things is obviously going to be a challenge. Obviously, like our learnings is that next time we're going to plan more and have more of a structure and book things way ahead. Mm-hmm. We're also, what I'm finding is we're doing way less touristy stuff. Like the old me, when I'd go somewhere, I'd be like, top 10 things to do in Bangkok. All right, guys, family, we're going here, we're going here, we're going here. Now we're just like, everywhere we go, we're looking through the lens, like the glass, like I was saying before, that what would it be like to live here?
Yeah.
You know, instead of going like, oh, this is a cool place to experience. Oh, look at this temple. Oh, this is a cool theme park. We're like going to places and like going like, where's the gym?
Yeah.
Where can I do a podcast?
Who can I connect with?
Where's the podcast studio?
Where's the networking? Yeah, where's the podcast studio? Where's the networking? Yeah. So we're looking through things through very, very different lenses now.
You're not looking at the fun things. You're looking at all sometimes the negative, like, oh, I don't like this about Thailand because Bali was better for that. And it's like, instead of just enjoying the experience now, we're comparing everything as to living there instead of just, well, I am. I'm not sure about you, but I'm definitely like, oh, no, I don't like this part. Instead of just enjoying it.
For me, like, you know, you're the adventure person. Like, I'm a very homebody. Like, you know, so a lot of people think that I'm extreme introvert.
Every place we've left, I'm like, fucking should have done this. We should have more of that. Like, I'm like just talking before about not getting Harvey's skis on. I wish I'd have spent an extra 5 minutes just getting him in the skis and like going, like walking next to him or whatever. Yeah. But anyway, Whistler was absolutely amazing. And now I'm craving more snow. I feel like I didn't get enough experience of snow. We've come back to Southeast Asia.
No, before we go into that, the reason how we got into Thailand, guys, we weren't actually going to come to Thailand. We were actually going to be going back to Bali.
That's right.
Now, for some crazy reason, and I've never done this before, I've always booked my own flights, something came up where you could get a discount if you went through this company, and I spent, oh, my God.
We spent 2 days on a flight.
Nobody, anyone who knows me knows that I hate with a passion wasting time. It is like my number one pet hate, and I was on the call to this guy in a pub in Vancouver, and I was talking to him for, I reckon, 4 hours. Then this whole process went on for two days. Then we gave him the credit card details, and I was like, is this a scam? Like, all this stuff was going on.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it was a really, really weird system. And then he goes, nothing made sense. And he's like, oh, the tickets are gone now. And that was to Bali. And then we're like,
fuck it.
One of my friends, Claire from Bali, who owns Bali Kids in Bali, she's an amazing person. We've got so many Bali toys for Harvey through her.
Pool fences.
We get all of our pool fences from her. Shout out to Claire. She said to me, babe, like, Bali is so bad. The weather here is so bad.
Well, we've seen
We're actually flying. We're flying out to Phuket. It's just flooded. It's really miserable. She said, I've been here for many, many years in and out of Bali, and I've never seen it this bad. So she's fly to Phuket. So I was like, fuck it, why don't we go to Phuket? So then the same thing happened. We were booking our tickets to Phuket. Then there was a situation with that. Then I was like, well, let's go to Bangkok. And then my mom was in Pattaya. Yeah. So I was like, all right, let's go to Bangkok, fly in. Don't tell the kids that we're going to go see Grand and Pop in Pattaya. They don't even know that they're in Thailand. Yeah. And then we drove to Pattaya. And we had we had New Year. So we flew, guys, on the 30th.
From Vancouver
to Hong Kong. We flew
16 hours,
which I am so blessed for Harvey. He is an incredible traveler. Like, No problems, no issues, no, crying, no screaming, no crying. Watched his movies, went to sleep, had his meal, went back to sleep. Like he is a dream child. Yeah, if I'd had him first, I would have already had 100 of them. He's just absolutely such an incredible child. And so then we got into Hong Kong. We had literally about 30 minutes by the time we got out. We grabbed some McDonald's, ran to the next flight, Hong Kong to Bangkok. It was about 3 hours, and then it was 2 hours and 50 minutes. We're like, oh my God, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we got into Bangkok at like 10 past 11. We finally got our taxi, and we were going to Bangkok, and I made the biggest mistake. I didn't realize that Bangkok had two airports. It has two airports. I was like, oi, let's just get a hotel close to the airport, 5-minute drive, then we can just go to Pattaya tomorrow. And
you booked a hotel next to the wrong airport, which was a 50
which minute. I didn't know there was another fucking airport, and it was 50 freaking minutes. And the thing, I was so angry.
And it was actually in the opposite direction to Pattaya, because we're coming down here the next day. Anyway, it was all good. You can't get everything right.
I get most things right. Bo's the one who doesn't get a lot of things right, but I get most things right. He was like, oi, I love that you fucked up once. Oh. But I'm like, okay, I owned it. But also, it said fucking airport.
You try to blame me.
Yeah, I probably did. anyway, we're on the way, and we got to see all the fireworks, and we celebrated New Year's.
In the taxi
on the way to Pattaya. I was like, this is so typical of Kirsty and Bo. Like,
whole of Bangkok. Yeah. There was on the street, there was off buildings, bridges.
There was fireworks hitting a car, on the freeway. People actually take, like, this is how crazy it all is, you know?
And do you know what? I seen something on, so all of that was awesome, right? Yeah. The experience that people on the bridges, because it's legal over there, right?
Yeah.
Over here, fireworks. And on the TikTok video that I seen on the news, on Australian news, exact same things that happened. People were shooting them off things, and they were making it like it was like this really bad thing. And don't get me wrong, it's dangerous. I don't recommend people to fire off fireworks in your backyard.
Yeah,
if you're drinking and you don't know what you're doing and you're fucking holding them in your hands or whatever. But they made it so bad. And like over here, it's so fun. And it's like the weed thing, right? Like we were walking down yesterday, you can buy joints.
That's
you can
crazy.
Buy nuggets of weed. You can buy buds. Everywhere you go, there's a weed store. And Vancouver
and we don't
the same.
Smoke weed. I wish I could, but it's just like not just a work for my body.
I don't like it either. But it's so crazy because like in Bali, if you were caught with a joint like that, it would be like go to jail.
10 years.
And it's like the same thing as Vancouver. There's so many homeless, but in Dubai, if you're homeless, you'd go to jail. Like, this is what my favorite thing about traveling is, experiencing different ways of living and culture and different lenses, like the way people look at things. And it's a good and a bad thing, because sometimes you go like, why do they think like that? And then other times it's like, well, why doesn't that country think like that?
That's exactly right.
And I think you can implement a little bit of so much into your life going everywhere, because you see – you're not just in one place and you're not in this one mind. When you own businesses and you go and see how everybody lives and how other people run business and how other people parent and how other people do things, you can kind of take a little thing from everything and implement it into your life. So that was my favorite thing. My lessons are on this trip around the world is that I definitely want to see more snow. I definitely want to plan and structure things a little bit more. Definitely around flights and accommodation. So we are going back to the USA this year. We're going to plan more PR. So we've got actually a lot of people that want to connect with us around the world, but everything was so fast. Like we were here.
Our life is always
so
fast.
We've got the kids as well.
Yeah.
That's why we like
Bali. And I will be back in school. So I have to be mindful of his time zones and stuff like that as well. He starts back at school on the 28th of January. So I think same thing with you.
I also want to say, I went to an ice hockey game in Vancouver and that was my favorite thing. I went by myself because it was so late at night and you guys were like, well, whatever. And it was like this big game, so it was like super expensive and fully booked out, and I was like, why would I take the whole family like that? Like, ask Noah, he didn't care, you didn't really care, but I definitely would take the family next time when we could get seats together. And it was like
a lot of things in America.
I want to do more sports, so we went to December, basketball games, were all finished, there was nothing but I really enjoyed the snow. I'd probably go to Banff and go back through Calgary, that side of Canada. I definitely want to see New York. We're going to do Hawaii, Las Vegas again. Give it another crack when we're not sick, and we'll head to that stripper place together. Okay, Kirsty?
I hate you.
What was it called? The biggest strip club in the world. No, it wasn't Kirsty.
I can't remember. But just on the thing, so we're in Thailand at the moment, so we've come to Thailand. We came to Bangkok.
And that was a feeling coming back to Asia, wasn't it?
It was, but my thing is, my first day here, I was like, oh, my God, yes, it feels so nice. I was in sun again. I forgot what it was like to have sun on my body.
Fresh fruit.
Nice, fresh fruit. Like, you know, I love fruit. But however, here's the thing. So we went to Pattaya and I was just like, I didn't like, you know, we liked this, you know, back in 2019, we're in a very different like mindset and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've got no tolerance for this. We went to a sex show. Actually, my parents came with me. So that was pretty fun, but it was not fun. Us this time. So
we that's what I'm saying. Like to people, it's like the ping pong show.
It wasn't like a ping pong. It was like live sex, but we didn't even get to live sex because it was so boring. Like I just could not. It was there was no entertainment. They just wanted tips. It was just a really awful experience. I actually left that place miserable, like sad, you know. And so that was
there was really, no entertainment.
That was so really crazy. So I went to there. And then I went to Bro, like, hey, like, let's go, let's fly to Phuket in a couple of days. Let's fly to Phuket. So we're doing that. Then we're going to go to Chiang Mai and then we're going to make a decision. So I'm going to go to Phuket, Chiang Mai, and make a decision if we want to stay here or if we're going to go back to Bali for a little bit. Because our whole thing was to come back over here was to train, eat healthy, get into the thing. But we have spent so much time trying to figure our way out in Thailand because that's why we wanted to go back to Bali. So
our villa wasn't available and it was flooded. So we made a decision to come here. And now we're feeling a bit uneasy because in Bali, like I said, with the comfort zone, we have our babysitter, we have our local places.
We have it all, yeah.
Let's talk about the sexual a little bit more because I know people want to hear about that. It is so they would drew your name with a pen in her vagina. And then that was like funny. And then they were like really pressuring for the tips and like really like,
$75. I was like, I'm not paying for that. Like, I just paid to get into this place. Yeah.
And the guys were lifting weights with their dicks and banging them on drums. And some chick out of the crowd was like grabbing the guy's dick on stage and banging it on this like drum. It was like,
but can I say this? There was no like, there was no energy. There was no energy, no passion.
It was like they were,
had a gun to their head and they had to do these things. And
it was like they were like super slow moving, miserable, no expression on their face. It was like a little bit sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, because we've run so many events, my thing was like, I'd get on stage and be like, who wants to see me lift something with my dick right now? Yeah. Like, if I don't hear a fuck yeah from the crowd, I'm going to jump off stage. Can I get a fuck yeah?
There was no energy. There was even the Titanic music playing.
Oh, they were playing like the sad Titanic music while she was putting things in a vagina.
Blowing out candles.
They got like this really slow movement and then they walk off stage and they come back on stage and I'm like, you know, like I understand.
I literally said to Bo, if I was horny before, I'm definitely not now. I'm considering, like, do we even want to be in this relationship anymore? Should I kill myself? Like, it was a really depressing thing. I even, like, you know, like I said, my parents were there. Like, my parents said, like, you know, we've got a very great relationship.
They're cool as shit.
It's cool. Like, there's no ick. There's no weirdness. It's just like, you know, my mum has always been like, you know, my best friend. Like, yes, with me and my mum had issues and stuff like that. But I'm also like, there's only like 19 years difference between my mum, same with me and Carson, you know? Yeah. So we just like, it's all good. Like there's no issues. You know?
100%. But let's rewind back to when we came to Bangkok 6 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
We went to a thing like, you know, with all the naked girls and you can have sex with them or whatever, but we just went to have a look. And there was all these chicks and they were just doing this slow shoulder dance. They all did the same dance, same speed, and they had numbers on them.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking crazy.
That there alone I don't like.
It was like, it was depressing, right? And it's like these people obviously don't like their life and they're like, some of them might be like forced to do that or whatever. I'm not sure how it works. I don't want to get into the politics on it. But what I wanted to say was there was one girl.
Yeah.
She was like shaking her stuff and she was up there dancing. She was smiling at the crowd. She was interacting. She was pointing at people in the crowd. She was in the shower thing. There was a shower thing on stage. She soaked herself up. Yeah. She was doing handstands like naked and all that. Cool. And then she jumped off the stage. And even when she was off the stage, she was like bubbly, like you could see it, right? And then we went over to her and said, hey, we really liked you, like up there. And she had a fucking Australian accent. And we're like, what the hell? She's like, yeah, I've lived in Australia for ages.
I'm from Melbourne.
I'm from Melbourne. And I was like, what the hell? And it just goes to show, like, that was her, how out there she was, right? Yeah. And one thing I want to talk about relating to business is that, like I said today, like with the tipping, right? I read some reviews on some of the Russian clubs here because I wanted to know if it was the same as the Thai stuff. And a lot of them were like, scam, don't go here. They pressure you for tips. You know, the alcohol made me sick or the alcohol was warm. You know, they were pushy. They were like mean or whatever. And one of them said, like, me and my wife love to go to stuff like this and like have a look and go to strip clubs or whatever. One of the girls actually walked up to my wife, forced her to give her a tip. And my wife said, no, like we're just walked through the door. We're going to get a drink. We're going to sit down. And the girl, the dancer, actually got her heel and stabbed it into the wife's foot and then walked off. And I'm like, for me, Like, yeah. Now not only are you giving the whole club a bad reputation, like, let's put it on a business. This is me now. Yeah. Like, I look at everything as business. I'm like, not only that, but, like, your energy's off. How are you going to get more tips and do like that? But if a couple walked in and you're like, hey, guys, how are you? You made the man feel nice. Like, oh, lucky jacket. And said to the woman, like, your hair looks really beautiful. And like, where are you guys from? Like, you guys look so cool. Like, how long have you been in Thailand? Like, can come sit down. Like, I'll get you guys drinks. What do you want? I'll get it. You know what? The first round's on me. Like, whatever. That customer journey, once she walks away and goes, I'll be back in a second, guys, with your drinks. Just chill, enjoy the show, whatever. Right then you feel safe, you feel warm, you're probably going to stay longer, you're going to spend more drinks, you're going to probably tip her a lot more. And I'm like, people forget that when they focus on the money so much in your business, you actually forget how much money you're pushing away. You're trying to force energy in instead of like receive it. And like, you know, those couple probably would have come in and spent a lot of money and tipped and all that, but they were stricken by that energy and that arrogance and that rudeness that they were like, I don't want to fucking borrow this place. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then it gives the club a bad rep, and then you don't make tips, they don't make money. And it's like, you guys need to take that on with your own business. But I think creating a customer journey for
a
second.
But I don't think they care, because at the end of the day, all of the places in Pattaya that we've seen so far is pretty much the same.
No, but my lesson on how I run my business.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then anyone listening, can I say, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Can I just say on that? One thing that Emirates taught us was
customer journey.
What is the most beautiful, amazing experience ever flying Emirates? Their customer journey is completely down patched. They look after the kids first. The kids get toys. They get fed first.
Yep.
We get photos when we first get
on. They bring a tray out and just feed kids on the plane first. You don't have to pay extra or anything like that. That's just what they do. And they get colouring in and toys as soon as they get on the plane.
And a backpack that Harvey loves. Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah. When you're waiting to feed your kid, like, feed the kids first, then the whole plane's happy, right?
That's exactly
right. And let me talk to you about Emirates. When you walk onto that plane,
you feel something.
They're smiling, welcoming you, happy, come through, like, hey, is there anything I can help you? That energy, as soon as you get on the plane, it makes you feel something, right? And that's what Bali does. The Balinese people,
always said that Bali is a feeling.
Remember when we used to get Ubers in Bali and they're like, I got your bags? It's like, no, man, I'll get it. No, get in there. Yeah. Hey, guys, what music do you want to listen to? How's your day been? Oh, cool, guys, you come from Aussie. G'day, mate. Like the banter.
Yeah.
And then the whole drive in the car, you're not even on your phone because you're interacting with this person. They're asking you questions. They're telling you about their life. You're talking to them. You're learning. You're interacting.
This is when he says he means Bo. I'm trying to like decompress. Bo's like, you know, trying to get his coins. I'm trying to get my own coins.
And I'm having these wicked conversations. But then you go back to Australia. And like your Uber rocks up, they don't even get out the car.
Yeah.
They got the headphones in. You got to knock to open the
boot.
What
about the time when I had all the groceries and the guy didn't even get out of the thing to help me?
You're there with a whole trolley full of groceries and he just stood there and stared at you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happened to the men to like, how do you like do that to a woman?
Yeah.
Like, would you do that to an old lady? Or would you pull up and just be like, get your own bags in, you old hag? Like, the energy is fucked. But anyway, that's my takeaway. What's your takeaway from all of this?
My takeaway is to have more structure, stay in houses over hotels. I've decided that this year we'll probably work hard for 8 weeks, take 4 weeks off. And I think we'll do that. Like, we'll plan it that way, give or take. We've got some really exciting news that we're going to bring out soon in the business and what we've just, done in the business. And that's for another podcast. So that's super exciting. We've got some huge things for 2025. This year, for me, like, you know, it's all about putting more of my health into practice. But
we're missing a structure badly.
Structure.
I need to be up, breathwork, gym. You know, and here it's hard. And like when you're holidaying, you have a beer here and there, and then you don't sleep right because you're traveling. So then I have been going to the gym and stuff.
Yeah, you have.
A little bit.
You're a lot better than me. And this year, I'm really going to put that in.
But I also want to implement that, like, while we travel, that we do train and stuff.
Well,
but
what
we don't have our babysitter.
So my thing will be that when we travel next time, I will already have and know where the gyms are. So it'll be a non-negotiable. Also, allowing ourselves to, when we're going through time zone, allow 3-day buffer to get ourselves back on track, because we really didn't get our body clocks back in track until we got to Vancouver. Business. So that's probably the biggest thing
Arizona.
As well. When we got to Vancouver is when we got our body clocks in, and that was like, 3.5 weeks later.
Well, we've done really well this time, and the thing is planning the flights around it. So when you flight was better.
Yeah.
And we landed in at nighttime, so we're so tired that we went to bed.
Yeah.
With the other one,
It was afternoons and stuff.
We followed the sun the whole way there, and then it was daytime, and we were like, fucking.
Oh, one thing I just want to say before we finish up this podcast, which is a really beautiful thing, watching Harvey. We've had so many amazing comments about Harvey and his life and traveling and stuff like that. But one thing has been really interesting to see, Harvey will do this thing where he'll wake up in the morning and he'll open up the curtain to see if the sun is out.
That's right.
Because he's gone through so many different time zones, and there's been times when he's gone to sleep and the sun has up or whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, what the hell?
He's like, what's going on? So he has, and this is how humans are actually so smart before you actually fuck them up with, you know, everyone else's expectations society. And all society and all the things. He has discovered and developed a system, a process in life. The first thing he does is he goes over to the curtain, opens up to know if he's allowed to be up because the sun is up, or does he still need to be sleeping because it's actually nighttime? And so I think
he does it at night for sleep too. Yes, he goes, exactly. Hey, the sun's.
So we'll go put him to bed and he'll get up out of bed, have a look, and say, okay, it's nighttime. Okay, I can go to sleep now. So it's really incredible to see how human beings, if you step out of their way and not do things, they create their own processes. You know, that was probably one of the beautiful things that I've learned about Harvey and you know, he teaches us so much anyway, but that was one of the most incredible things that I think I've learned over this trip, and how he created his own process to find out when he should sleep and when he should not sleep.
All right, we're going to wrap this one up. But fuck your New Year's resolutions. Work on yourself all through the year. Show up. Don't wait till Monday. Start now.
Yeah.
Do the thing.
2025 is going to be absolutely amazing for you guys. Stop holding back.
Show up. Do the thing. Join the program. Do the trip, book the fucking flight, quit the job, start the business, whatever the thing is, stop making excuses and just fucking make 2025 the year you take action.
100%. End of the day, guys, the only person that's getting in your way is you. And when you want to actually get over your own bullshit, you actually start to actually evolve and change in your life. The only person that's actually holding yourself back is always you. And I know that it's really easy to project that onto other people. Mm. But the moment that you decide to change and take a different direction, I promise you, you will win, you will grow, you will learn. I didn't say that that road may not be difficult. I did not say that you're not going to get challenges. I did not say that you aren't going to be hit with obstacles. You most definitely are if you're trying to strive to do something greater than what you're doing right now. But I tell you right now, the end of that is the change you're looking for. At the end of that is a new learning. At the end of that is the growth and the evolution of your new version of yourself that you have so badly wanted, also you deserve, and also is inside of you. If you have a dream right now that you want to do something with your life, that dream is there for a reason. You have already lived it. Now you need to embody it and go all in. And that's the biggest takeaway that I want you to take away for 2025. Commit to yourself. Make yourself a number one priority. Invest in yourself. And I promise you do that, you will get the result.
That's right. And Happy New Year, guys. 2025 is
big
the
love.
Year.
Big love. Let's go. Fucking 2025. Let's go.